see if I've got this right. We're supposed to push that thing down. What's supposed to turn green? There it did. Okay. You know, I've always been leery of these things, but I think they're the most, one of the most helpful things you can have. And I appreciate those that have been praying for me. And I appreciate Brother Martis had the Sunday school class this morning, and I was in, and I appreciate that on faith. And then this morning, he turned around and did it on mercy, and I need both. So he helped me a great deal. And you know, I got to thinking, I don't often, lately haven't had a chance to preach. And when the pastor asked me to come to and to have it tonight, I told him it would be an honor, because to me it is. It's an honor to be able to be here in his pulpit and preach the word of God. Now, the message I've got tonight, you're going to wonder whether I'm preaching or what, but some of the guys in the back in the sound room know what I'm talking about, because I gave them a short outline of it, and the title was at the top, and I could have probably heard them laughing when they read it. But this reminds me, though, of a time back. I'm an old timer. But back in 1980, I was an assistant pastor in a church, and the pastor was not feeling good after the Sunday morning service, and he had asked me to prepare just in case. So he asked me to take the service on Sunday night. Okay, I could do that. And I was a young guy then, and it, you know, hey, you just open your mouth and preach, right? But one of the deacons heard that it was me that was going to preach. And that night, just before I came up to preach, they were to take the offering. And the deacon, with an offering plate in one hand and a pillow in the other, comes walking down the aisle. And I'm up here, and after the offering was taken, he sat down with his pillow. I stopped and I said, "Brother, what is with that?" He says, "Well, they told me you were preaching tonight, and I figured I'd need it." I couldn't figure out. He never would tell me whether it was because he thought I was boring or because I was long. Oh, so I hope I'm neither tonight. But anyway, the message tonight you'll find in Titus chapter 2. And I want to read verses 11 through 14. Titus 2, 11 through 14. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And there's one other passage that I want to read. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 and just verse 10. And then you'll get an idea of what maybe the message is, if I can get to 1 Peter chapter 2. I've got a new Bible and it sticks together. But verse 10 says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And I just started one verse too late, but it says verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And my message tonight is a little bit unusual. I had thought about bringing some things to illustrate maybe some of what I was going to say, but I figured I'd better leave them home. But when I was talking about being an old-timer and around for a long time, I'm one of these that get called into the ministry late. I got saved late in life, at least I think so. But, you know, back in, again, it was probably 30-some years ago, when I was preparing this message, I was looking for something in my files that might jog something to help in preparing it. And I came across some notes that I had done 30-some years ago and then laid aside. And I thought, man, I ought to just incorporate that with what I was doing. And I'm going to be speaking really about God's peculiar people, if you haven't realized that already. Brother Martis, I believe, did a good job on the rest of the verses that I was looking at. But I want to talk about God's peculiar people in an unusual way. And it has to do with pencils. Because I was cleaning out my desk, and that's what brought up this note 30-some years ago. I was cleaning out my desk, and I had found, any of you do that, some of you men, you have an office, you have a desk, and if you go through it, you are going to find pencils that you have used, put aside, maybe never used, some that broke, you'll find all kinds of pencils in your desk. Well, I was cleaning out my desk and took these pencils, and I got to looking at them, and I jotted some notes. Haven't done anything with it since until I came across it now. And I was going to be preaching on the peculiar people, so I titled this, instead of people are peculiar, how about pencils are peculiar? A little bit different, but, you know, different pencils can also describe different Christians. If you stop, and I'll give you a little bit. For part one, their length. Did you ever notice some pencils are long, some are short, some last a long time, some just seem to give up real quick. Especially if you've got one of those, you crank it out and you're doing something and you're in a hurry, sure enough, it's going to break. But some are just one thing. Well, one thing about them all, some are short, some are fat, some are skinny. We're going to be looking at all of them tonight, at least I hope to. But their length, or their size, or their characteristics will mean a lot to us. And you know, those that are a long pencil, think. You can use them for a long time. They can be useful for a long time if you care for them, handle them right. And you know, a lot of Christians that get saved early in life, they've got a long life ahead of them that they can live for Christ. They can be used mightily for a long time. And then there's the few, like myself, maybe a few others in here. I didn't get saved till I was about 29, almost 30. I went to college when I was 33. And, you know, to preach the word of God. God called me to preach when I was 32. And I'm not going to go into my testimony because if I give my full testimony, we'll be here for an hour and a half. God did some wonderful and great things. But, you know, I got saved early in life, so I don't have the opportunity and to do as much for God as I had, you know, as some others that for you young people, you get saved at, or some of you, I think the pastor said he got saved at what, age 8? Pardon? 11. Okay, there, you know, and then you've got all those years to grow and do things for God. Well, God saved me when I was 29, and he's been using me, I believe, or at least I've been open to be used by him for all those years since. And God has been good. You know, I can look at, you know, those that have a long life. I look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 3, where it says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, that's what God tells young people, that you be obedient, you can have a long life, and it'll be a good one on this earth. You know, if God's people get saved young, would turn their lives over to him, they'll live a long time and have time to do a lot of good work for him. Those of us that didn't, well, we need to make use of the time we have and just give ourselves to God completely. But then we look at something else about pencils. Did you notice that pencils have lead in them? You know what that's called? It's called the heart of the pencil. And, you know, Christians, when you are God's people, when we get saved, we find that we also have a heart. Sometimes it's soft, sometimes it's hard. And they may, some being soft, may be easily written and make bold marks. We find some Christians that are the same way. They're large, bold, they write easily, and God can write on their hearts easily. We look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, and he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, those of God's people that have their heart open to the Lord have the opportunity to, and if they would give themselves, they can speak boldly. Just as Paul, speak out. You find a pencil that has a soft lead, boy, it'll make a good stroke, and it's easily seen and easily recognized and easily read. What about God's people? Do we have a bold stroke for God in our heart? And you know, some of them are thin. Some of them are thin. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, it's about the same way with God's people. He says, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, a lot of times when they're thin, you try to write with them. The marks, you know, did you ever try it? They're tiny. Now, I know some ladies, and I'm not against ladies. I have one at my home. But the one thing that I found is that if they're like my wife, when they write, they prefer something very tiny, and their lettering, letters are very strict and smooth, but they're hard to read because they're so small. And, you know, the marks they make are small, but they do make the right marks. They're clear when you get to it. The some are thin, and they write, well, tiny, and to me they're hard to see. In fact, right now, I have typed here, and I should have made it in a bolder point, maybe a 20. Because mine are not doing too good tonight. But some are thin, and you know, the hearts of some of God's people are thin and hard, and you can't always see what they're doing. And now I said ladies is thin and hard to read at times. Some of God's people are thin, stingy and hard to read and hard to understand when they have what's available, in that God is so blessed, and yet they can't reach out to others and be a blessing. And then we have some, they're really soft. Some lead is really soft. We talked about those that are bold that way, but some, now, different leads, and I know people like different types. At least they did back when I was in school. You had to write with a pencil. I mean, pens were not that frequent at my age. But you would get one that you like. And a soft lead, you could leave a good, solid impression. And when you used it, it was used in a way that everybody could recognize. And you know, when a person's heart is soft, God can use them in a way that everyone knows God is in their life. A person, one of God's people, needs to be yielded to the things of God, open their heart to Him. I got 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, and it says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, soft and open, pliable to what God wants." And you know, some, and I don't know why anyone would want, but some pencils have hard lead in them. And, you know, it's difficult to write with them. I've come across them. And you can't seem to get the writing done right. So you throw them aside and get one that will. Well, you know, we have some of God's people that are the same way. They're hard in their heart. And they just want to balk at everything. Oh, they know the Lord is their Savior, but they just are reluctant, I guess you could say, to do what God wants them to do. And they're missing out on so many blessings. I know of, I could pull on and on, I know of people, God's people, that if they would just open their hearts to God and let Him soften that, and let God write on their hearts the way He would want to, how much more could be done? Well, hard-hearted Christians refuse to yield, and sometimes they cause problems. But let me talk on. Well, that was my second point, but the third point is one that I wanted to spend some time on. I hope I have time. It's their characteristics. The characteristics of pencils. You say, pencils don't have characteristics. Yes, they do. You know, look at this. Pencils are not all alike. God's people are not all alike. When I look out here, believe me, I know God's people are not all alike. But they can all be used for the same purpose. So we're not all alike. you know, being not alike. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 tells us, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Just like we have a lot of pencils, but they don't all look alike. They don't all write alike. They don't have what we need every time. And sometimes we have to say, okay, well, I don't need this one for this job, but I do need this one. You know of calligraphy, don't you? What that is. There was a woman in one of my churches at one time that she could do that. I mean, it made me feel like this high when I looked at my scribbling, and then I'd see how she could put things together. You know, every one of us has a thing that, or a work that God has for us to do. She would make some of the most beautiful cards and posters and signs. She would send them out. When there was sickness, someone would get a beautiful card from her. She was doing what God had enabled her to do. She was being what she was. And not all of us, I couldn't do that if my life depended on it. There's no way I could do that. If you would see some of the notes that I write, you'll find out why I type. Because I'm a one-finger typist. Takes me a long time. You know, guess how long it took me to do that? But, you know, I'm slow at it, but God's given me what I have. So I use it, and I let him use me. But, you know, we're recognized, or we're unique for the purpose God has for us. And you know something else about pencils? They had to be made. They didn't just appear. They had to be made. And they didn't grow. They had to be cut out of a tree and made. And you know something? Every one of us was made in the image of God. And just like a tree had to die for a pencil to become a pencil, Christ had to die for us to have that eternal life and live with him, to be what he wants us to be. And I can give you scripture, and I gave the people back their scripture, and I'm not even using it. But they had to be made. Isaiah 44 and verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen. God made the people of Israel, and he told them so. He said, I have made thee and formed thee from the womb. You know, he did that with every one of us. I don't know where he gets these blueprints from, but I'd like to have changed mine. But he gave me what I have. And I altered it a little bit. Most of you wouldn't believe what I looked like when I left high school. I was 6'1", had a 32-inch waist, and weighed 177. I didn't even know that I was able to do what I did. But now, well, I won't tell you what it is now. But you know, there would be no pencil without the death of a tree. There would be no Christian without the death of Christ. He gave his life for us. And something else. Pencils need a new heart. You know, when they're first made, I looked into it one day. And, You know, when a pencil is made, it's all wood. Then they have to put a hole through that thing and put lead in it. And you know something? When we were born in sin. And as time went on, we accept Christ and he made a new heart for us. That old hard heart gave up and he gave us a soft heart, flexible and usable for him. And it, you know, in Psalm 51, verses 9, I got to find it there, 9 and 10, he says, the psalmist said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, that's what we need, is to see God's people with a clean heart and a right spirit. Just like changing it, putting it in pencil. And if you get a mechanical pencil, when that lead breaks and you can't find it, put in a new one and use it again. God gives us a heart that he can work with if we'll just open ourselves to him. You know, something else, pencils need to be sharpened before they can be used. Pencils, when you get pencils, and you know, maybe some of you young people don't even know what a pencil is. You're so used to computers and pens and who knows what all. You know, you have to take it. Back in the day when I was going to school, you took the pencil and you took it over. You had a sharpener here and you held on to it. You stuck the pencil in there and started cranking. And it chewed the end off the pencil and left a point. The heart of the pencil could be then used. But it had to have all the unnecessary junk cut away from it before it could be used. You know, a lot of us have to have the same thing. I know when I first got saved, you know, I wasn't one of those that just yelled, hallelujah, I'm saved, and started running for the Lord. I had some things in my life that when I got saved, they came out slow. Some of them hard. But God won. And I can only praise him for it. But you know, it's like I said, they have to be sharpened and reveal what the heart really is to be able to be used. God sometimes has to put us through some things that maybe we don't understand and we don't want, and I've gone through them and I don't want them and I don't want to see anything like it again. But you know something? When it was all over, God had blessed, and I was still going strong. Then, you know, some of the pencils were decorated up and had all things, and they got to be expensive. Some were not so expensive. Different grades of pencils, but all were made for the same purpose. Every one of us is the same way. We're all made for the same purpose. Excuse me. You know, God gave some of us a lot. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, financially, you know, I just now realized there's a watch up here. There's a timepiece sitting here, and I've been looking at my watch. Oh, well, excuse me. I told you I'm getting old. Now I got to remember what I was going to say. You know, well, oh, God's given us, some of us, an awful lot. Some financially. And if you're one of those, praise the Lord and help God's people as much as you can. If you're one that God has not blessed quite as well, But you know something? He's still blessed. Because, well, part of my testimony, and I'm not going to give it, but part of it is, when God called me to preach, I had more than enough. We had just bought and paid for a brand new car. Paid cash. We were living in a house that we had just had built a few years before. We were living right next to a school, public school, that then they didn't have Christian schools. But I helped start one 4 years later. But we had what we wanted. I had a job. I was managing four departments in a manufacturing plant. And I had three, men don't ever do this, but I had 300 women working under me. And three shifts. We had what we wanted. But God called us to preach. You know, I've never been sorry that I accepted that call. We've had times when we got down to where, what are we going to do next? And God always took care of it. So whether you've got a lot or whether you've got very little, just keep working for God and He'll take care of you. You won't starve. You'll always have clothes on your back. At least I've always found that to be true. So, you know, whether you have much or little, God says, just stay with Him. And some of the pencils actually have the name of their maker on them. And I got to thinking, you know, we ought to bear the name of Christ proudly. And just about the end now, but most pencils have an eraser on them. You know what that eraser is for? It's to remove the mistakes the other end made. And most of us, we have an eraser that we can go to when we make those mistakes, if you want, when we have the sin in our life. What is it? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, just like pencil has an eraser, we have Jesus that can bring us back and we can be used again, even though we've been in and out of His will, maybe. And the last thing, we also find, and I'm not going to go through, you know where you can find scriptures on it, but there are pencils that are imitations. And they look like pencils. I found some with advertising. And one of them was that big around, that long, and it looked like it had an eraser on it and a point, but it was useless. I've found others that have advertising that were the same way, but they were the same size as a regular pencil. Would fool you. You pick it up until you tried to use it. You know that there are imitation Christians running around too. There are those that never accepted Christ as their Savior. They don't know they don't even realize many times the state that they're in. They're unsaved. They go to church, some of them very faithfully. I know some that I have come across over the years. They're faithful to go to church. They don't miss. But yet they're as unsaved as the pew you're sitting in. My youngest son, made a profession of faith that when he was probably 4 or 5. And he grew up doing just what he was supposed to do in, you know, in the school and in church and in the home. And he went to a Christian camp that was right near our church that I helped with. And one Wednesday night, I went over to see how things were going after the service. And he came running up to me, and he's 16 now. He came running up to me and says, "Dad, I got saved." I go, "What?" And he confessed that he never really did get saved when he was younger. But he wanted everybody to believe it, and so he lived the life. But he was not one of God's until he turned 16. There are imitations. Some don't know it. Some do. Some will try to lead you in the wrong direction. But you know something? Only God can keep you if you stay in his word and have your heart soft and open. Now I ask, as I close, I'm going to ask one question. What kind of a pencil would your life represent to others when they look at it? What kind of a pencil are you in your Christian life? One that can be used, easily read, and has a bold, giving heart? Or one that is thin, stingy, greedy, and holding back, not wanting God to do anything? What is your life if you were one of those pencils? What is it in your life? Or are you a combination? Let's just go to prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we realize what a privilege it is and an honor to be in this pulpit. Lord, I ask that you would take the few words that were spoken tonight. And Lord, you might use them in the hearts of each one of us here tonight, that we might realize that we can be used of God, whether we're tall, short, fat, thin. Lord, whatever we are, we may not look alike, but we all have the same opportunities to open our hearts and lives to you. And we ask that you might just touch lives and hearts tonight. And Lord, do with each one as you would have. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would we stand? And I'm going to ask the pianist to start playing. And if God has spoken to you tonight and you need to respond, why don't you just come down? Use this altar. Use this time to say, "Lord, I want to be open. I want you to help me to have a soft heart, a giving heart, that you might use me in the work you have for me."